Precious and wonderful God, we are thankful, Father, to come before your presence to hear your word, to worship you, O God, in truth and in spirit, to offer our prayers and our praises unto your God. What a glorious and a wonderful time it is to be in the presence of God. Speak, O God. Let your church be filled with your glory. Speak, O Lord. May your way transform lives this morning. In the wonderful name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we all say amen.
Amen.
Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Good morning, church. We are continuing on our study in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter
3.
So what we do in this church, we preach verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book.
We try
to understand what is it that the writer of this of a certain book like Matthew, what is it that is trying to communicate with us? How is it that he wants us to understand Jesus Christ our Lord?
So
we started from chapter 1. Today we are in chapter 3, verse 11 and 12.
Chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 11 and 12.
So if you want to know how to look at your Bible, at the beginning of the Bible, there is something called contents or table of contents at the beginning. Then you look here, you look at the book Matthew. Then you see where Matthew is. Then you look at the page. Those who are not familiar, then you get to the page where Matthew is, like page 699 maybe. Then when you get there, if I say chapter 3, chapter is the big number, verse is the small number. Okay? So, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 and
12. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 and 12.
Alina, kilokobeleta pako kamezi, atiaka nkamula honna, umpita kamata.
I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Modimo,
Son of Fatilahai.
Okay. So the aim this morning, friends, is to see how John the Baptist introduces to us Jesus Christ, the true baptizer. So after warning the people to flee from the wrath to come, we have seen that last week. After warning them, then he gives them the answer which the whole world seek. He points them, he directs them to a man who is coming after him, and that man's name is Jesus Christ. He points them to a man who comes in righteousness, a man who also comes in justice. Here in this chapter, chapter number 3, we see two baptizers. We see John the Baptist, who baptizes with water for repentance. And we see Jesus Christ, who baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire. We have seen last week as we were reading in verse 9 and 10, we can see the message of John is in twofold. It is the message of salvation. John says, God is able to raise children of Abraham even from the stones. And secondly, it is a message of judgment. He says, the axe is already at the root of every tree. So in verse 11 and 12, then it becomes clear that is also a contrast. He speaks of someone who's coming in righteousness and someone who's coming in judgment. So in verse number 11 and 12, then it becomes clear that actually the ministry of John the Baptist was there just to lead to the ministry of Jesus Christ. That's all.
It
was pointing to Jesus, a man who will preach the gospel message. A man who will bring man unto God. A man who will unite man with God. Who will reconcile man with their creator, their enemy. A man who will set the captives free. Who will give eternal life unto man. So the twofold purpose here we can see, Bazalwane, then there's salvation, there is judgment. He says the one is coming, his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will gather his wheat unto the barn, and then he will burn the chaff with unquenchable
fire.
So if you're writing down, there are three things we're going to look at this morning. That the baptizer, this true baptizer who's coming, the Lord Jesus Christ. First, he will bring a baptism that saves. That's number one.
Okay,
secondly, he brings a baptism that purifies. Then the baptism with fire.
Is
the baptism that saves, baptism that purifies, the baptism with fire. So let us look at the baptism which saves them. And it is popular these days when we hear of the word baptism with the Spirit, or baptism with fire. We hear many things that people speak, that people talk about. And then at the same time, if you came on and really look at this thing deeper, you can see there is a misrepresentation, there is a misinterpretation of the gospel, of what Jesus means, or what John means when he speaks here of the baptism with the Holy Spirit and the baptism with fire. Many people will throw this phrase in every Sunday gathering, baptism with the Spirit, baptism with fire. But as they do this, there is no honor unto the true gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no truth. We don't get anything. We don't gain any knowledge what it means when the Bible says being baptized with the Spirit of God. And we look at this subject, friends. As we look at this subject, we need to come to it with great humility, with fear, with trembling, lest we all fall into the condemnation of blaspheming the Holy Spirit of God. So in verse number 11, we see John is making a contrast between himself and Jesus Christ. He says Jesus Christ, if you read in verse number 11, is mightier, which means is greater than John. We can remember the testimony of John in John chapter 3, verse 8. He says, he must increase and I must decrease. So John knows his place, my friends. And he will not dare equal himself with the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, he is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry.
Johane ha lekilu idi ka ntsha le morena Jesu wa tseba tulo ya hae. Wa tsho re ha lokela lo a tswanela lo ra ka dukolla jeta tsa hae.
Then he make the contrast between his ministry and the ministry of Jesus.
Aba etsa tswantso ka ka sebetsi wa hae le sebetsi wa morena
Jesu. He says, I, that's John, I baptize you with water for repentance. But the one who's coming is baptizing you with something greater. He's baptizing you with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So the one who's coming, the true baptizer, is coming to make a kind of a dramatical change in the life of those who believe in him. He will immerse you in himself. He will bring light into your dark hearts. He will remove something so tense and severe and so heavy in your hearts. Something dark in your hearts. He will take away the falsehood within the hearts of men. He will then bring water unto you. The Bible says, he will sprinkle you with water. If you read in the book of Ezekiel, he will sprinkle you with water. So you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. You shall be clean from all your idols. He will give you a new heart. He will take away the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, a soft heart. He will cause you to walk in his statutes, and you will be careful to obey his commandments. You shall be his people, and he will be your God. But as you look at this, John is not saying that his baptism is inadequate. That's not what he means here. We will see that next week, God willingly. John is not saying that his baptism of water is not important, is inadequate. No, he's saying there's something greater that you should be looking forward to, something that you must desire to have in your life.
Johane ha nyinyi patsi kolobeso e na ya tswe yetsang o selosa hore ona le setseng se tla mese soka hala pilomba rona.
The baptism of John does not bring the promise of the Holy Spirit. That's number one.
Kolobeso ya Johane ha tsi tshepiso ya moya.
The baptism of water does not guarantee the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Kolobeso ya metsi a
so you can be baptized with water but not be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's why John, when they come to him running and say, we want to be baptized, although we have not changed from our sins. He says, turn away from me. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. So the coming baptizer, he comes with a unique and a peculiar function that he himself, he will undertake unto the lives of the people. There will be a unique and a peculiar experience unto those who have been saved. They will be God's children. There will be not some boastful individuals who will act some super spiritual in the church. But Jesus will soften your heart. He will give you something special. He will make you realize that you are a child and there is a father. This baptism will take away the hypocrisy and sin in the life of the people.
kolobetso ena e totlisa ho fetoha le we top le thoba mo bophelong ba motho.
He will produce sincerity, not hypocrisy, in the church. It will cause you to enjoy calling the name of Jesus in the time of need. It will cause you to know that there is a Savior that you can call whenever things are going wrong in your life. The baptism of the Holy Spirit will cause you to be humble and to be godly. The baptism of the Holy Spirit will not cause you to enjoy calling the name of Jesus 7 times and carrying on without any substance in it, like a formula that you do maybe when you go to your sangoma, you call makosi, makosi, makosi. No, he will make you to be humble and be godly, and when you call unto his name, you will realize that I'm calling unto the name of the Savior, because you will have something inside you that connects with something that is outside of you, and there's a new life in you that is imposed and infused in you by the Christ, the Savior.
And
he will save you this baptism from scandalous lives. He will not cause chaos within the church, but he will bring order within the church. He will bring order in worship. He will bring order in preaching, order in serving. So the minister of this true baptizer will bring righteousness in the lives of the people. Why? Because he himself is the righteous one. He himself is the promised righteous branch who has to come into the world, who has to come and sit in the throne of David and initiate the kingdom of God. So he will produce in you righteousness, since you cannot produce righteousness of yourself, since your own righteousness is filthy
rags.
And as we read here in verse number 11 and 12, we can see that it will be then on the basis of the baptism with the Holy Spirit, whereby Jesus will be able to separate his people from those who are not his people, because they have not believed unto the Son of God. So you need to ask yourself a question, my friend. Where will you be outside this baptism of the Holy Spirit? What future is there for me if I'm not immersed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there hope for me if I continue in hypocrisy and sin? Remember, that's why it's very important that we attend, because some of these things I've said it last week. But remember, who is it that John is talking to here? He's talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the people who thought they were in the right standing with God. These people, they came to John. Remember that they wanted to be baptized without repentance of their sins. They wanted to participate in the things of God without having a true regeneration in their hearts. But he says no. Turn away. You need a turn in your heart before you can participate in the things of God. He says, behold then, something greater than me is coming, and he's a true baptizer. He's the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In short, what is John talking about here, the baptism with the Spirit? What is this baptism with the Holy Spirit? Well, as we continue to read this chapter, we come to an understanding, as we observe this, we come to see that in the context of this text, it speaks of regeneration. It speaks of genuine regeneration. It speaks of Jesus taking a sinner and making a sinner to a saint. It speaks of Jesus taking a harlot and making a harlot a singer in the house of God. Where Jesus Christ himself will take a thief, a killer, and a robber, and a rapist, and turn him unto his son. It speaks of a change of heart. That's what this is all about. So he refers to the activity of the Holy Spirit that we experience at the beginning of our salvation. He speaks of that experience that takes place as God gives us a new life. I know some of you who read the Bible, they're now thinking, but there's something like that in Acts chapter 2, which is actually different from this. There is, but we are not in Acts chapter 2. Here, in the context of this verse, John is talking about true and genuine regeneration. Christ baptizing sinners unto himself.
A
new life. New spiritual life in you. This is the process whereby God cleanses us and takes away from us the love of sin. So John says here, that Jesus will cause men to belong to himself then. He will place men unto himself. He will make men his wheat. He will make men his treasure. And he will grant them the ability to walk in his statues. And all who will believe then on him will be officially called the citizens of heaven. So why is John talking about like this? He's again and again encouraging his hearers to look unto Jesus. He's encouraging his hearers to believe on Jesus. Encouraging his hearers to follow the one who's coming after him. And do exactly what the one who's coming after him will say. They must believe in Jesus. They must follow Jesus. That is my encouragement for you this morning, in this first point. That is my appeal for us all this morning. That we may seek Jesus and seek to be united with him by repenting from our sins, by calling upon him. And the Bible says he's faithful. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Before I carry on to my next point, let's stand and sing hymn number 25, only two stanzas. Then we continue, we look at our second point here. That this baptism that it brings, the baptism that purifies. So we see first that the baptism then is not only a baptism that saves and leaves you under salvation, but it will need to purify you as you go through this life on earth. So if we look at this thing very carefully, we can see that John is saying this baptism will be baptism with fire. First, let us look at this thing, baptism with fire, as an advantage to the believers. First, you will purify the believers. And you cause the believers to walk in faith. Let's keep that in mind. So what we have here, we have a picture, a picture of gold. Gold that is purified by fire so that it shines the more. We all know that. For gold to shine more, they put it in fire and then it purifies the gold and it shines even better.
Gore gauta e feke ba kenya molongo gore e tlebe e be e loke.
So that is what we have before us here.
Ke sone kena tshwantiso re nang le yona hona mona.
So the idea here is that after the Spirit unites you with the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Spirit will purify you. In other words, the Spirit will continue to qualify you to remain in Jesus. Think of, I work in a restaurant, hotel industry. Most of the time, once a customer leaves, the people, they clean the table.
But they will
bring something called a sanitizer. Even when the table looks clean, they will still spray the sanitizer to make sure that germs die in that table or from that table. What does this say to us? Even if Jesus saves us or baptizes us with the Spirit, we still need the Spirit to make sure that He cuts all the loose ends in our lives. We need the Spirit to purify us, to make us clean even before God, not just before man. And we cannot be able ourselves to clean ourselves before God in a way that is acceptable to Him, but the Spirit is able. So we can agree that we need this. As we continue in this life of sin, in this life of evil, as we continue in this life that looks as it looks before us today, you know, there's so much evil. Evil that we do, evil that others do, evil that we do with others, evil that we watch others do before God. As we continue this way, we need the Spirit of God. We need Him to purify us, to keep us pure as the bride of Christ, to cleanse us from all defilements. Please turn to Malachi chapter 3. We'll read just verse 2. I want you to see
verse 2.
This power, this blessing that comes with this Holy Spirit. I want you to see this beauty that the children of God partakes right now. Here in Malachi chapter 3 verse 2, it speaks of Jesus. The prophet says,
Malachi chapter 3 verse 2,
the prophet says, Russ will read for us in Soto as after me. The prophet says there in verse 2, but who can endure the day of His coming? And who can stand when He appears? For He is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. So the prophet says the Lord Jesus Christ is like the refiner's fire. Remember, we spoke about this verse last week. We spoke about this chapter 3 last week. That first, it gives us the man who comes before Jesus. It speaks of God's servant, that is John the Baptist. Then it moves from John. It tells us of Jesus. What will Jesus be and what He will be like? So now it says here, He will be like a refiner's fire. He will purify some sinners. He will be like one who washes sin like the ancient soap called the Fuller's soap. What happened in the past when they were washing their clothes? In those days, their clothes were made from a thick cloth. Their clothes were made from a thick cloth than this one. So it was not easy for people to wash by hand. So what they will do, they will put the clothes on the rocks. And they will put the soap and they will beat the clothes with sticks. Whoever did that to his clothes, it's because he loved the clothes. He wanted to wear it over and over again. So Jesus will purify his people in the same way. In other words, sometimes it will be hard in your life, but Jesus will make sure that you make it unto heaven. When you get to heaven, you must be pure and holy. He will do such so that we produce fruit keeping with repentance. So people will see us that we belong to God. But at the same time, when people see us that we belong to God, then the heavens will rejoice that we really live like those who belong to God. It is not only about what people see. It is not all about what people see. But the heavens must rejoice that there walks, there goes my children. So in his purifying power, you will be consecrated to Christ. You will belong to him. You will be his possession. So what the Bible teaches us then here is that Jesus purifies us from the pollution of sin. He removes whatever renders in us unclean and unfit for the service of the Lord. He frees us from the guilt and the defilement of sin. Let us look at Titus chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Let us read what the Apostle Paul says here to the church.
Chapter 2, verse 13 and 14.
Listen what it says. It says, "We are waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from the lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his possession, who are zealous for good works." So what we have here in Titus 2 is that during the ministry of Jesus, during the ministry of Jesus, the life of a Christian will be a life of purity, a life of holiness. He will make himself a people zealous to produce good works. He will purify for himself a people as his possession. You will no longer love to engage yourself in sin. Just like the hypocrites and the sinners we spoke about last week, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, a very short verse, don't open. It says, Jesus Christ, he will purify our conscience from dead works to save the living God. He will purify our conscience from dead works to save the living God. In other words, then what we see here, there will be an ongoing process of purification in the life of a believer once the believer is saved. There will be a continuous work of the Spirit once the believer is saved. And sometimes if the believer leans towards sin, God will not let it go like that. He will continue to purify the sinner. Because that person is his possession.
Modimo tla tswela pele ana a sebetse ka haro yena a mogutsetse tseleng hobane ke ngwana wa hae ona.
So the Holy Spirit will gradually bring then the life of Christ within us. He will make you holy, for he is holy himself. And that will enable you to partake to the divine nature. You'll have a divine spiritual nature that is opposed to the life of sin of the past. You will have a new passion for the righteousness of Christ. Your soul will begin to align then to the purpose of God. Because you are baptized with the Spirit and you are being purified by the Spirit of God. And that will make you to come to the throne of grace with boldness when you confess your sin, when you have fallen from the glory of God. So, as we go to our third point, let me bring this to you.
As
the baptism of the Spirit will be a once-off experience in your life. You get regenerated once in your life.
But
the purifying work of the Spirit will continue in your life until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That will help us to understand God day by day. It will help us to desire God. He'll be within us, helping us to seek for God in the times of need, even in the times of joy, to praise the Lord and lift up our eyes, our hearts unto Him and our praises unto Him. Then you will separate yourself from impurity and sin. You will depart from sin. You will touch no unclean thing. Why? Because you are now the vessel of God. So according to John, the Baptist, Jesus is not only coming to save. He comes to save and to keep His. Yes, by purifying them through and through. Third point. What is the context that we have put before first? Good. Let us look at our third point then again. I'm saying John has been bringing a contrast between himself and Jesus.
His
ministry and ministry of Jesus. John has been telling us openly that there is life and there is death. There is hell, there is heaven, there is salvation, there is condemnation. He was telling us that Jesus will purify others and then He will judge others. We want to know where is that? Verse number 12. His uniform is on His hands. He will separate the people, He will gather his wheat unto the barn, and He will bend the shaft unto an unquenchable fire. So the one who comes does not only come in righteousness and to save and to purify, but He also comes to judge. He comes to bring fire unto those who refuse to repent. That's the contrast that John is bringing to us this morning. I want us to look at this from the ESV Study Bible. Listen to what the Bible says here. Listen how the Bible puts it. Let us read here. The baptism with fire. What is this baptism with fire?
He who is coming after me. I'm going to explain now what it means. He who is coming after me expresses strong messianic expectation, is mightier than I. John announces the nearness of the kingdom, but the coming one will arrive with the power of God to inaugurate messianic rule, baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John's water baptism will be superseded by the baptism associated with the coming one. Those who repent and trust in Him will receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit. while the unrepentant will receive judgment of eternal fire, and even the repentant may undergo a purifying fire.
Those who does not repent will face baptism of fire. That is the burning hell. Let us hear what our favorite pastor, Dr. John MacArthur, says. What is his comment on this verse? The baptism with fire. Pastor John. Listen to what John says. This is John MacArthur now.
John MacArthur,
you may not always agree with Brother John, but John is right. Listen to what John says. You will interpret. The types of baptism are referred here. One, water baptism for repentance. The baptism symbolizing cleansing. That's the water for John. Then there will be baptism with the Holy Spirit. And all believers are spirit baptized. There's no one better. We are all baptized if we have believed in Jesus. And he will baptize with fire. Listen to what John says here. Because fire is used here throughout this context as a means of judgment. So this must speak of the baptism of judgment upon the unrepentant. So my friend, the baptism with fire is not what the unlearned, the Tom and Jerry's out there talks about. You will not pray and ask God for the baptism of fire. Because nowhere in the Bible such baptism is mentioned as a good thing. But the Bible always speaks of the Lord as the consuming fire. Remember, the Lord baptized Sodom and Gomorrah with fire. Remember, the Lord in the book of Daniel, he rescued his people from the fire of Daniel of Nebuchadnezzar. Then he baptized the unbelievers, the wicked, with the baptism of fire. So friends, this is what we want to run away from. By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are trying to escape the fires of hell. There is this fire that awaits the unbelievers, the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all those who are like them, those who refuse to repent from sin. They will be baptized with this baptism of fire. John is showing the intense judgment. He's showing that the hypocrites and the unbelievers will be judged when the Christ comes. He makes the point that water baptism will cleanse no one, water baptism will save no one, the baptism of the Holy Spirit will save somebody. If the baptism of the Holy Spirit does not save you, we'll have to baptize you with fire. But here is the point, Bazalan. John says, do not worry. Do not be weary. Don't look at me. There's someone who's coming. You can put your hope unto him. You can put your trust unto him. You can come to him. You can follow him. You can believe on him. He's faithful and just. When you repent from your sin, he saves you from your sins. And those who truly repent, then he purifies them. Those who refuse to repent. Oh, my friends. You baptize them with fire. So my friends, this needs to remind us that salvation is not just a once-off thing. We need to continue in salvation. For God came, his son came to save us, to keep us. But if we refuse to repent, He will baptize you with fire. His purifying grace of the Spirit is necessary, my friend. Because though we are here on this world saved from Satan and sin, we still need the power over the ongoing presence of sin. We need the power over the indwelling sin, over the sinful past of our own. And if you will seek this baptism, He will baptize you. All that you need to do is to believe that we are a sinner and He is a Savior. And repent from your sin and come to Him. Because if you will not seek for this baptism, if you will be like the Pharisees who will only seek for the things of this world, the wealthy gains, you will soon be put to flames. Verse 12. His winnowing fork is in his hands. He will clear his threshing floor. And he will gather the wheat into the barn. And you know what he will do with the chaff. Friends, seek the ongoing blessing of God. John is giving a promise here. The one who's coming, Jesus Christ, who was coming at the time. Remember, he's talking about Jesus who was coming. We know he already came. If we believe, if we turn from sin, he will bless you with an eternal blessing. He will save you. And he will keep you. And then you will see eternal life. So will you turn away from sin? Will you look unto him? Will you enjoy eternal life? Let's pray. Our God and our Savior, our King of glory, we thank you for reminding us of the blessing that is in Christ. To be one with Christ, to be immersed in his presence, to be called his children, to be united with him through the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for promising that as we walk through this life, although you have saved us from sin and Satan, but oh God, you will give us the grace to overcome the indwelling sin. You will give us the grace to overcome the sin that sticks so close to us. You will give us the grace, oh God, to forget the past and produce a fruit. Oh God, I pray that none of your people this morning may face this baptism with fire in terms of the shaft being put to eternal flames. Oh, our precious God, extend your hand of mercy. Save your people. Heal your land. Thank you for the ears. Thank you for your weight. In Jesus Christ's name, we all say Amen. Bazalani, thank you for coming. Let us bow now as I bring the benediction. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all times and now and forever. Amen. May the good Lord bless you until we see you again.